The frog chorus again. Note those bonks. It's to say vale for the last time to Mike Tyler of Adelaide. Here are his thoughts on the origins of those singing frogs.
The Garden of Eden would not have been complete if there were not a few frogs around. The snake that put rebellious ideas in Eve's mind no doubt included them in its diet. So we can be fairly sure that from time to time the sleep of Adam and Eve would have been disturbed by the calls of frogs. The only person with any insight into the Adam family attitude to these animals is Mark Twain. In his book Earth Letters, this sage provides the following account of an event that he states took place shortly before the birth of young Cain. Year 3. Early in July, Adam noticed that a fish in the pond was developing legs. A fish of the whale family, though not a true whale itself, it being in a state of arrested development. It was a tadpole. We watched it with great interest. For if the legs did really mature and become usable, it was our purpose to develop them in other fishes so that they could come out and walk around and have more liberty. We had often been troubled about these poor creatures, always wet and uncomfortable, and always restricted to the water, whilst the others were free to play amongst the flowers and have a pleasant time. Soon the legs were perfected, sure enough, and then the whale was a frog. It came ashore and hopped about and sang joyously, particularly in the evenings, and its gratitude was without bounds. Others followed rapidly, and soon we had abundant music nights, which was a great improvement on the stillness which had prevailed before. Now, whereas Adam and Eve rejoiced in the nightly singing of frogs, they appear to be in a minority. Aristotle grumbled about the noises of frogs in the local marshes. There's even a story that the last straw that brought about the French Revolution was a requirement that country folk had to spend nights at marshes and lakes beating the reeds with sticks to prevent frogs from croaking and thus ensure the nobility in the chateaus of a good night's rest. Each year, people telephone me and seek help. Please will I go and catch a frog in their goldfish pond. They haven't slept for nights. It's not every frog that causes trouble. The little ones that make clicking sounds like this, or, well, they appear to be perfectly acceptable. It's the deep-throated bullfrogs that go bonk, bonk, bonk. These are the ones that inhibit sleep. These frogs belong to a genus called Limnodynastes, and the bonkers are common throughout the southwest and southeast of the continent, areas that include the major centres of populations of humans. Like all frogs, it is only the male which calls, a chauvinistic society. Obviously, what they're doing is just talking to other frogs. For most of the year, they are probably just telling other males to keep off their patch. But at least once each year, they sing far more frequently, often many in a single pond, producing a chorus which attracts the females to them to mate. These periods of extreme vocal activity are the times that I'm called out on my errands of mercy. In suburbia, frogs have difficulty in finding places in which to breed. The house owners that put in fish ponds and luxuriant, well-watered gardens perform a great service. But from time to time, the frogs in the district will make a bit of a noise when they breed there. So, if you are the owner of a pond, are you personally responsible for the noises created by the frogs? A curious decision by the Brighton Council in South Australia indicates that it clearly believes that the fish pond owner is liable. Mr. Bruce Edwards of Brighton has been served with a notice requiring him to remove, I quote, all frogs and or toads from his premises because their nocturnal croaking is keeping the neighbours awake. On technical grounds, the order is far-reaching. After all, the female and baby frogs in his garden aren't making a whisper. And if he removes them all and they, by their own volition, return to the pond, as frogs are prone to do, will he be obliged to evict them again? If the returning frogs cross his neighbour's garden in the process, does this make the neighbour an accessory? Mr. Edwards is reported to state that he has no intention of removing the frogs. He says that they don't belong to him. In an interview with a reporter from the Bayside newspaper, he asks, "Supposing a kookaburra landed in my tree each morning and laughed, do I chop the tree down?" I'm getting worried by all this. Suppose someone slips over on the footpath outside my house, on slime left behind by a snail departing from my property, will I be liable for the injuries they sustain? I might be able to eliminate snails by stocking my garden with frogs. But I think I'll await the outcome of the proceedings in Brighton. It seems us frog lovers are under threat.
Mike Tyler of Adelaide, the great frog man who died in late March. That'll be his last word here. Next week at this time, the formidable writer Jennifer Ackerman on birds, keers, honey eaters, and many more. And the names of our top five scientists for 2020. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher, with music, this music, by Paul McCartney. I'm Robin Williams.